Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Reason and Theology. Your host, Michael, on a Friday, joined by returning guest, Father Alan Benander. How are you, Father Alan? Great to see you.
Great to see you, Mike. I'm doing great. Glad. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Oh, it's always an honor to have you. And tell me where you're at right now.
So I am at, well, I'm at the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe, where I've been located all years, at least since October, and I'll be here until June. And specifically, this spot is the Memorial of the Unborn, the Shrine of Memorial of the Unborn. This is Our Lady of the Unborn, right here. Interesting story I have about. Shared that story in one of the other videos about the special significance of this statue. And then over here is that's the memorial where we've honored many little ones. So parents who've had miscarriages, one father who had, there was an abortion. It was against his will. The father of a baby named Liam Michael. So obviously that's something you're obviously hits close to your heart.
Right.
And so those are all little ones that are honored in that section. You can see the guardian angel looking over them. So it's another beautiful area. I try to go make my rounds every day, pray there, pray a rosary there, or some other prayers there to pray for those children and their parents. So it's very fitting it's the Memorial of the Unborn here.
Are there memorial stones there?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, I'll maybe give you a little tour.
Sure,
sure.
Yeah.
So yes, and this is maybe fitting as the as the folks will see in a bit, considering that tomorrow's the day of the unborn. But there's the angel with children taking care of the children. And then here are the little ones who are honored.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
Parents, gives parents a chance to honor their children. You know, the rest of the world often forgets these children who don't make it to birth, but you know, they're named. Some of them are named with specific names, some named just with the last name of the family.
Yeah.
Here is Liam Michael. Pray for this precious little one. He was killed. He was murdered in the womb, despite his father's best efforts. So pray for that little guy. The father had originally persuaded the mother to choose life a week earlier, but then she changed her mind. So pray for that child. B.B. Frankinson, just a lot of these other children, you know, worth honoring and remembering. So, there you go. Yeah, and then we have beautiful quotes from John Paul II, very fitting because, as I don't know if you can see that, but Evangelium Vitae, March 25th, so it's the 20th anniversary. This is why March 25th is the day of the unborn, one reason why, because released that encyclical on that day. So we have beautiful quotes from him about the natural moral law, human life. It's just a beautiful place. Anybody who's ever out in the Wisconsin area, or you want to do a pilgrimage if you're not in the area, beautiful site. John Paul II's words on abortion. And so anyway, let's keep all these children and their parents and families in our prayers, of course. So
sure. And if you could start us out with a prayer, and then we'll begin with our topic.
Sure. Okay. And we'll get this statue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Eternal rest unto all these precious little ones and all the little ones, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. Almighty God, please grant us the grace through the intercession of Our Lady, St. Gabriel, whose feast day is today in the traditional calendar, and to all the guardian angels to grow in a greater respect for life, for the lives of the children in the womb. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for that, Father. So we're talking about the Day of the Unborn. For those who may not be familiar, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so The Day of the Unborn is celebrated on March 25th, which of course is the liturgical feast of the Annunciation / Incarnation. Mm-hmm. One can make an argument, a feast day that's could be more important than Christmas, since it's the day of the actual incarnation. And so, but pro-life leaders around the world, not just the country, the world, I think it even started, I want to say, in El Salvador. And it's celebrated, commemorated, or remembered in many countries, have taken the opportunity, especially since John Paul II, as I just mentioned, released his famous encyclical on life, Evangelium Vitae, on March 25th, 1995. It's a day in which remembering that our Lord became a baby in the womb, a child in the womb, for us to, in various ways, honor children in the womb throughout the world. That's basically it.
Yeah, so there's a connection here between the incarnation and the day of the unborn. Can you maybe talk about that theologically? Because I can certainly see that there's going to be a lot of theological connections there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so much could be said about this. But if you just think of what happened when Our Lady said, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, be it done to me according to thy word, you know, at the request of Angel Gabriel, who again is honored in at least in the traditional calendar today. He was in the eve of this great feast of the Annunciation. What happened was just, a miracle beyond description, that God became man. Humanity and divinity were married, as St. Thomas says, Our Lady being the representative of humanity, giving humanity's yes to God, to the marriage of the two natures in the person of Christ. And so at that point, I mean, so much can be said just about that incarnation, but what needs to be said is God became man.
Yeah.
And so to think then that a child in the womb, we call him born baby. I'm not opposed to that term either. I use it a lot too, but I do have a preference for child in the womb. That baby in the womb was God. What dignity that gives to all children in the womb. I mean, beyond just what the natural level tells us, right? Natural reason tells us, but our faith says, wait, God was once one of you little ones. That's like a mind blower, you know?
Yeah, now this is a really important point that you're touching on here, the dignity of the unborn due to the incarnation. I think that that's a point that a lot of people miss. I mean, right now with abortion being so prevalent, we're missing the dignity of those who are in the womb. However, whenever we cultivate a proper understanding of the incarnation and what Christ did in taking on human flesh, it's hard for us to then neglect the dignity of the unborn, since our Lord himself took on human flesh in the womb. And so that's a really helpful point. Do you think that maybe the more we emphasize the incarnation, perhaps the more people will start to value life in the womb?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that takes faith. So it's not something we could necessarily use in the secular world, with those who don't believe, not prior to them believing anyway.
Sure.
But certainly it should give us Christians an even deeper motivation, first of all, to preach the gospel and convert those who aren't. And secondly, even in the process of that, or independent of that, to realize, wow, I mean, we know just from natural reason, just by nature, that these children have dignity. But to think that God became a little baby, an unborn baby, and from the first moment of his conception, you know, now there's theological debate, like exactly what, you know, what Christ himself was like at the first moment. I won't go into all that. But suffice to say, from the first moment of his conception, this baby in Mary's womb is God.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't motivate us Christians to say, well, boy, we need to defend these kids, because their biggest representative is God himself, God incarnate. So, I think that is something. I think that's why I personally, I mean, I'm not one in charge of these sorts of decisions, of course, but I think marches on this day would be great. I mean, I know there are some actually in the country, but I would love this to be like the day for the march. Roe v. Wade we've killed. I personally would, if it were up to me, I'd say just forget Roe v. Wade. We're done with that. Don't even remember it anymore, as little as possible. Let's march on this day and it tells the world, even those who aren't Christian, why are you marching this day? Well, this is when our God became man. You may not have known this. This is when our God became not just man, but a baby in the womb.
So much can be seen. Yeah, and you know, now that you mention it, I haven't really seen any marches on this day. Have there been any, or is it just...
I think there are some smaller ones. I know around the world, I mean, there's a movement in the U.S. to make it bigger in the U.S. I mean, it's not real, real big, but there are a number of countries, as my research, who commemorate this day. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest, what they're doing today, this day, but I imagine there'd be some kinds of pro-life masses or prayers or marches or something like that.
Bringing it back to the dignity of the human person that you mentioned there and connecting it with the incarnation. Today, we're seeing the dignity of human individuals in all stages of life under attack. I mean, there are all kinds of horrible procedures that some people are undergoing, which violate their own dignity. Do you think that there's a connection here between whenever we lost the reverence and dignity of a human person in the womb, that's going to trickle down and then impact the dignity of the human individual in all of its other stages?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. And and I'm not sure what's prior logically, but it's also closely connected to just the denial of obvious reality.
Sure. You know?
Once we deny that this being inside a mother's womb is obviously human, once you deny that, then denial of all sorts of other things comes into play. But sticking on the theme of dignity that you brought, if a baby in the womb is seen as not dignified because it's small, it's hidden, you know, you kind of need, you know, special technology to even see that it's a human at some stages, right? But to quote Dr. Seuss, a person's a person no matter how small, whether the author was pro-life or not, because I heard the author who said, I'm not pro-life. Well, it's too bad. You already made the principle. So
yeah.
Where your principles lead, that's your own problem. anyway, at least that's what I've heard. So maybe not quote me. That's what I heard. That can obviously lead to other failures to recognize human dignity, say in the elderly, right? Well, they're just old, they're not really doing anything. I mean, we're a very utilitarian culture, right?
Right.
I mean, meaning people are valued, persons are valued. In fact, in some definitions of some persons are only considered persons if they can do something, not just by their being, right? And so the elderly, they can't really do much anymore if you're sick or die, whatever, you know. Yeah, so for sure. I mean, once you deny the clear dignity of the baby in the womb, it's not too much of a stretch to extend that to other people. And where will that end, right? I mean, I think we see what ends in Nazi Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that's too much of an exaggeration. In fact, I don't think that's an exaggeration at all.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very strong point there. If we can't respect the dignity of the human person in the womb, we're certainly not going to elsewhere. Yeah, that's a really important point. Let's talk about the importance of honoring this day of the incarnation and the day of the unborn. Can you tell us maybe some reasons why this should be maybe considered a little bit more important than we give to it?
Yeah. So first, in terms of the big theological mystery we're remembering here is the incarnation of the Son of God at the caused by the Annunciation, Our Lady's yes to the angel. So so first, it's a day of honoring Our Lady, right? I mean, this is the day when she became a mom, right? And this ties in perfectly with what we've been saying, the pro-life movement, you know. Mm-hmm. Women, you know, the problem with abortion is it doesn't prevent you from being a mom. It prevents you from being the abortion just makes you the mom of a baby who's been killed, right? Of a dead baby, right? That's the problem. That's why women suffer from it. You know, my heart goes out to them. So Mary became a mom at the incarnation, and of what a mom she was and what a baby she had. I mean, to really realize again. I mean, I'm no liturgist, but I know Christmas is a higher rank than. Sure. The Annunciation, at least today, who knows, maybe, but in a way, you can say, you could certainly make an argument. This is put it this way, there's such clear connection between this day and Christmas. I mean, in a way, Christmas is beginning today, right? So the incarnation took place today. This is when our, the great invasion, to quote C.S. Lewis, of God coming, invading the earth occurred, our salvation was really begun in full force with the incarnation. Mm-hmm. So I think we should honor this every bit as much as Christmas, personally, even though that's not the same liturgical rank.
Sure.
Anyway. It's not a day of obligation, but a day of strong encouragement, I would say.
Well, I think you're raising an important point here because, yeah, absolutely. With Christmas, you have the day he was born, but with the Annunciation, you have the conception. Now, in Christian soteriology, the study of salvation, there's been a lot of emphasis on the crucifixion, and you know, rightly so, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you tend to get sometimes an overemphasis on the crucifixion, especially in some Protestant circles, with a de-emphasis or underemphasis on the incarnation. And one of the problems with that is, in the early church, soteriologically, the emphasis on salvation and the work of salvation was from the incarnation. And so in the Annunciation, where you have the conception of our Lord, that is the beginning of the mystery of redemption. In the incarnation, because there's that principle that which is not taken up is not redeemed, but then you also have the flip side of it. God became man so that man may become God. You have God assuming humanity to then elevate humanity to the divinity. So yes, even though, of course, the crucifixion and the resurrection factor in essentially to our salvation, the beginning of it is in the incarnation with the Annunciation. And so I appreciate that theological point that you're bringing out here about the importance of this day. In some ways, it can be even more important than the incarnation, in some ways.
Or than Christmas. Yeah, yeah. To clarify, I'm not like saying, you know, not questioning sure. the church's ranks sure. here. But sure. I think it's better to say, even maybe just to bring it all together, say, really what the church is celebrating in full force on Christmas is what happened today.
Right, right.
You know, because even on Christmas, it's what are we saying? We're saying verbum caro factum est. Well, verbum, the word did not become flesh on Christmas Day. The word was manifested on Christmas Day. And then even more on Epiphany, which, mm-hmm. you know, in some traditions is actually a bigger feast than Christmas, but mm-hmm. without getting into all this. But the point is, whether it's Epiphany, Christmas, those are just occasions for us to celebrate what occurred today, even if liturgically this is a lower sure. feast. Kind of like sure. the opposite of Our Lady. Our Lady's, her birthday is not as big a feast as her conception. It's kind of the flip yeah. side, you know? So it's all part of the one mystery of the incarnation, all these liturgical feasts.
Well said. So yeah, I'm sorry. I think you were saying something else there. I didn't.
So I was going to say, part. Yeah. So that, so it's for, I think it's important for all of us mm-hmm. to remember, this is a key day. This is intimately connected with Christmas. And so, mm-hmm. you know, our Christmas spirit says, hey, okay. I mean, if it all go to mass tomorrow, you know, for the one mm-hmm. thing, so to celebrate the liturgical mystery, the theological mystery, the liturgical feast. But then in terms of, applying this then to the unborn, who are given great honor on this particular day, right? Because they never had a chance to be born or have not yet been born. Because so this is a day to honor, at least as far as I understand it. Maybe it's a developing theme amongst the pro-life community. How I understand it is we're honoring both those children who have been lost, primarily through abortion, but I would add through other means, like the natural means, like these children here who've been lost through miscarriage and other means. I mean, they can't be forgotten either, right? Mm-hmm. Even though there wasn't the same injustice done to them, they're still just as human as any of us, right? So today, remember the children who were lost, who never got a chance, who never reached it to birth for whatever reason, but especially mm-hmm. through abortion, the sin of abortion. But then also to remember the children who are there now, so that we just grow in our appreciation for these children in the womb. And that can be done prayers, you know, go to mass in with these prayers, prayer intentions in mind, for and into abortion, the slaughter of the little ones, for the little ones who've died before mm-hmm. birth, as we talked about in the last show, you know, mm-hmm. whether through abortion or miscarriage, you know, we argued how there is good reason to believe that prayers for them can be useful. The catechism says sure. pray for those children who died before abortion. It's not just us, it's the catechism that has that. Pray for those who've been wounded by abortion, and I would add, through miscarriage and loss of children through other means, right? Through other losses of children in the womb. You know, maybe go and pray in front, go to an abortion center, abortion facility. I don't call it a clinic. It's not a clinic. It's a place that murders babies. Okay? It's a baby clinic. That's Okay, that's what it is. And pray. Pray for the children who are in danger there. Pray for the children who have been lost there. Pray for the mothers. Maybe talk. Anyway, various get involved in various pro-life activities, at the very least to pray and to remember in your heart and to let other people know in your circle, hey, let's remember the children who are in danger, the children who have been lost, and those who have been wounded by their losses, especially through the loss of abortion, which is particularly painful, not to negate the loss that other mothers feel who lose their children.
Of course. You know, I appreciate that you use the term murder there in reference to this act. There's a lot of people who tend to use euphemisms. I appreciate that you're direct and to the point and you're calling it what it is. Tell us a little bit more about that and why we should be blunt in our terminology and description of what this exactly is.
Sure, Michael. Yeah. Before I do that, I just want to say that if there's anybody here listening who has had an abortion or knows one, I mean, you know me, Michael. I don't have, my priest heart goes out to no other group of souls than those who've had abortions,
right,
especially women. I've been involved in Rachel's Vineyard, other ministries to help. So my heart goes out to them precisely because of the evil of this. So nothing I'm about to say is casting condemnation or
sure.
Anything like that. Anything. I have nothing but the deepest fatherly love for such women and men and others wounded by it. Mm-hmm. And why is that? It's precisely because abortion is murder. Yeah. And I think the fact that the pro-life community, and I've talked with some women who've had abortions, and they agree, the fact that the pro-life community has been rather reticent in saying that abortion mm-hmm. is murder, three words, period. Mm-hmm. I think that's been a great injustice to those children in the womb, because it's left them, it's clouded the issue unnecessarily. This is a very clear issue. There's really no actual debate to be had here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you want to call the discourse going on, if there even is one, but it's not really debates. You can't really debate first principles. I mean, you need only in a manner of speaking, I think. I mean, this is clearly murder of the worst kind. Meaning the most innocent, precious, defenseless, often very painful before the time of, can you see the day, be baptized by those who are ought to take care of them, namely parents and doctors and so-called doctors who should be doctors, and though instead they're the ones taking their lives. So abortion is murder. I asked some people recently, I said, because I was thinking, why is this so hard to win politically? This is such a slam dunk intellectually. It's not even a debate. Mm-hmm. And this is, well, here we are, you know, even though Dobbs has taken down Roe, it's still a fight. How many years, you know, in some states, 60 years later, right? Or mm-hmm. close to thereabouts. And I'm just like, I don't, I mean, like, we get sidetracked with other issues about it. And I said, I just asked her, ask me, how many times have you heard in public discourse by a politician on TV, abortion is murder? Mm-hmm. And most people talk to her like, I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
And I said, the simplest description of the act is mm-hmm. the taking of an innocent human life, aka murder. We have one word for that, mm-hmm. and with malice, at least by the abortionist. Unless he's insane, he knows what he's doing. Okay,
sure.
I'll let God be the judge, but how could you not know? I think many women there's sure. a degree of ignorance. But anyway, on the baby's part, all those babies who have been aborted can say for all eternity, I was murdered in the womb. So to answer your question. Why that's important is because it's short and to the point, concise, and it's powerful and it's true.
Yeah.
It's murder. Yeah. It's the most true thing you can say about abortion.
But if we're not using that kind of terminology, I think it's easier for people to come up with excuses for it.
Absolutely. It's either easier for people to come up with excuses for it to justify it being there. It's easier for pro-lifers to not do too much about it. Well, it's a procedure, even for pro-lifers. And I got to speak for myself. I mean, I have to reflect. It is murder. There are babies, you know, if I flash by, thanks be to God, as far as we're told in Wisconsin, babies aren't being murdered here. But that's what I've been told. And whether Planned Parenthood is abiding by it, because they murder babies. And that's another thing, you know, well, we have to realize, you know, if you're going by a baby murder center, so I'm just more blunt with the language, because that's what a Planned Parenthood, that's what any place that does abortions, it's a baby murder building, it's center. Mm-hmm. Okay. They kill babies for money, for its blood. And if we saw what happens on there, we would be horrified.
Sure.
It's barbaric murder. I mean, especially at any stage, it's murder. the older the baby is, it's extremely barbaric and painful and grotesque. No human being should ever go through that, let alone a little baby. So we need to realize babies are being murdered there. You know, when I go back to the Abbey in Orange, I have to remind myself, you know, if it's a Saturday when they kill babies, it's like 10 to 15 babies were probably murdered there today. Oh. And their bodies are probably there decomposing or in some trash or being used as science experiments. I mean, the point is the reality of this has to sink in. And why the pro-life, we just need to be more upfront. The pro-life community seems more concerned about the pro-abort should not be the ones on the attack. They should be the ones trying to dodge this issue, because this is the worst kind of child abuse. This is the worst kind of human sin against humanity, crime against humanity that's going on today.
Yeah.
And they're the ones bringing it up. We should be the ones bringing it up. They should be the ones trying to dodge it. We should be the ones saying, you guys murder babies, you know, the pro-aborts. You're the ones who want baby murder. So its point is, words have power.
Yeah.
And the more we just need to use the words that more quickly and accurately describe the situation, and to say that abortion is murder, abortionists are murderers, they're baby murderers. I have no apologies in saying that. Abortionists are baby, they know what they are doing. If they don't, they must be clinically insane.
Yeah.
And abortion centers are baby murder centers. I mean, it's just, I think the more pro-lifers talk about this, this won't sound so radical. It'll just be, this is what it is.
It'll be the normal. Yeah. Well said. Well said. Now, talking about this, there's going to be some who say, oh, but Father, you talk too much about abortion. This is just an issue that is just, you know, there's other injustices taking place in the world. Why do you feel there's a need to raise attention to this and to put emphasis on this?
Yeah. So I think only a born person would ever make a statement like that, because if we put ourselves in the positions of the children in the womb, you know, love one another as you would like to have them treat one another as you would have them do unto others, you would have them do unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. If we put ourselves in the position of the children in the womb, in our country, in other countries, some countries, it's worse.
Yeah.
You have about, forget about the fact that by nature you might not make it through miscarriage, but just looking at it, you have about a 1 in 4 chance of being murdered in the womb. Now, let any viewer, anybody who might be thinking that thought, consider, like, what if murder was legalized for born persons today and you had a 1 in 4 chance of being murdered? And in fact, today there will be about 3,000 to 4,000 murders of adults today. And in fact, that's going to continue tomorrow. And in fact, that will continue every day for the next 60 years. I don't think there'd be any, you know, would there be anything else talked about?
Yeah, right.
I mean, really, yeah. Because we born people are so selfish. Now, there are other issues, of course, and some people are suffering greatly.
Yeah.
But none of them are as bad as this. In fact, I don't think any of them are that close, to be honest, even the worst of them. You know, although some are pretty bad, like war, you know, some war torn areas, other injustices, of course, but just considering the clear injustice that's done here. I mean, it's a little baby, for crying out loud, being murdered by his own parents. And again, my hearts go out to all those women and men who've had abortions, and I encourage them to repentance. They had their healing and trusting God's mercy. And by so-called doctors who should be for them. And just the numbers. I mean, we're talking about in one day alone. If we could put up a quiz, it'd be nice to put up a quiz. I mean, all this is very grave, serious matter. So it's not anything to, you know, make light of. But if we were to put up a quiz here and ask your viewers, how many children are killed approximately every day by abortion in the world? Not just the U.S., but the world. The U.S. is bad enough. You know, I wonder how many would even come close to getting it right, even amongst pro-lifers. The stats I've seen is it's close daily, not yearly, not every decade, to 150,000 a day.
That's worldwide?
What's that?
Worldwide.
Yeah, I can get you the stats later. You can put it on, you know, the source for that later. I'll put it on. And that's about 48 million a year. I mean, that's just horrific. I mean, in this conversation alone, babies are being killed right now, just being killed, and under cover of law. And that is, you know, 150,000 babies a day. That's more deaths than America suffered in World War I total. In a few days, that's more deaths than America suffered in World War II total. I mean, it puts things in perspective, things that we borns care about, they might be important, might be big, nothing close to this, as bad as say the recent COVID stuff was a few years ago, it doesn't pale in comparison. It pales in comparison to what the unborn have been suffering for decades, and nobody seems to care, So these poor little ones, we need to real put ourselves in their shoes and say, okay, yeah, if I was if they started killing adults today at that rate, I'd be probably pretty concerned, but I'd probably be easily my number one issue. Not probably, get rid of the probably. So anyway, that's what I would say about that.
Yeah, you brought up World War II there. If I recall correctly, what was it, 50 million lost their lives total with World War II?
Of soldiers, is soldiers and concentration camp, or just soldiers, or just total?
Total.
Total, yeah.
I've heard 50
Okay,
million. I
I mean that,
may be
yeah.
inaccurate,
If
but
it's yeah, and that's horrific. I mean, I think
of
we all agree
course.
that that's absolutely. We're not
Of
downplaying
course.
World War II. We're using the horror of World War II to say that's horrific, and this is that much more. We have a World War
Right.
II and babies every single year.
Yeah, so the stats for abortions in 1 year would be equal to all of the people who.
Comfortable.
Yeah, that's so horrible and tragic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, what can really be said when you put it that way, right?
Right. It's just
But I
more
think
perspective.
more people need to be aware of that.
Right. Yeah, and that's it. I mean, to be aware of the horror of every individual abortion, that it is a murder. We had a special day of remembrance for the baby who was, I don't know if you and I talked about it, but it was in the news, the little baby who was killed on National Public Radio. They aired the audio of the murder of that child. I mean, that was horrific, and there's a number of pro-life groups around the country who honored that little one who we named baby Amanda, because that child, every child is precious, and that was an opportunity to say, look, there was a particular baby murdered who died in that vacuum sound. That vacuum sound wasn't cleaning, it wasn't vacuuming the floor. It was murdering a child who will never see the light of day. May she rest in peace, that precious little one. That's extremely serious. Extremely serious. And that, so it's important to appreciate every little one and then all of them together. It's like when you look at it from the micro level of each little one and everyone, it's like, this is, I mean, what we gotta up our game. I mean, really. I'm praying that there will be a political party that can just be abortion abolitionists. Like the only thing we'll talk about is abortion, the murder of children, until it's done. I mean, really, you can certainly justify saying this is all I'm going to talk about, because this is nothing is even close. The house is on fire, people, and you're talking about the front yard lawn.
Wow, what was the reasoning for airing that on the radio? Do you know?
Well, the political climate at the time was they were it was in Michigan. They were trying to persuade the public to vote yes to the baby murder amendment, the abortion amendment, and it succeeded with flying colors. The populace voted to okay the killing of the slaughter of children in the womb. Sadly, did they know what they were voting for? That's another question. Maybe if people were told baby abortion is murder more and more and more often, then maybe they wouldn't have voted for that. I don't know. And I'm not trying to knock on those who were. I know a lot of people did a lot of hard work campaigning against that. It's not any person. I'm just saying, just we as a whole culture need to be more direct in our language, as we've been talking about. So I don't want to. A lot of God bless the people in Michigan who tried to fight that. Okay, that's not a knock on that. But so it was in that climate, and the particular goal of that particular show was to try to show that abortion is just like childbirth. Could anything be more demonic? See, there's soothing music in the background. You can hear the mother, she's struggling with what she's doing. May God have mercy on this mom. She's like, I don't, she even said at some point she doubts whether she wants to go through with it. We encourage her. No, you can go through with it. I'm pretty sure that was it. And then we encourage her to breathe, just relax. And then she's through with it and we congratulate her. They try to actually equate giving birth to a newly born baby who's going to take its first breath, his first breath, her first breath, to the murder of a child in the womb who will never take that breath, who will never see the light of day. They tried to equate that. scriptures say, do not call good evil, evil good. Do not call light black. I mean, if there is any doubt that this is clearly the demonic, I mean, he's actually showing the exact opposite of what being a mother is to try to equate it with motherhood. So that was the immediate goal. I do think it did backfire to some extent. I think there were a lot of people who were like, what is this? Is who maybe weren't even rabid, fervent pro-lifers who were a little disturbed by it. But still, the fact that he even thought about that, I mean, I encourage a boycott on NPR for that very reason. So, if for nothing else.
Right. Wow. So, tell us what we could do. Are there any practical things that the laity can do to fight this?
Yeah. So just kind of what we said for the Day of the Unborn, to try to put that in practice each day. I mean, some practical things, and I suspect a number of your audience is already doing some of this, but maybe not. Get involved in 40 Days for Life. Now we're kind of wrapping up a 40 Days for Life campaign. So 40 Days for Life is a camp, for those who don't know, it's a campaign to pray. A 40-day campaign. In some areas, it's all year long, but in most areas, it's two sets of 40 Days for Life, 40-day campaigns, one in Lent and one in the fall, in which there's an orchestrated effort to spend more time praying in front of these. I'm just going to be more blunt with my language now, since these baby killing centers. And so that's one thing that can be done. Another thing is to educate. Again, I'm going back to this the language. Again, I've been talking to some pro-lifers recently, and even amongst them, even amongst talking about ourselves, the language is sometimes, sedated a little bit. I'm like, guys, this is murder, and they all agree. But it's like, well, it's just, especially amongst ourselves, to talk like that. We all talk like, I would say, let's just start calling it what it is. It is murder. Okay, abortion is murder. That to me should have been a mantra of the pro-life, that should have been a mantra that the society should have heard a million times by now for 50 years. You know, it should be every bit as common as love wins, whatever that is. You know what I mean? The left is so good at coming up with these inane, superficial, and sometimes flat out false, like my body, my choice slogans, and they stick, and they're so bold. And we actually have a true slogan that we don't use. So start telling people abortion is murder. I'm not condemning, we're not condemning those who've had an abortion. And meaning, I mean, we do call them to repentance. It is murder. They murdered their children, right? But it's not done in a spirit of hate for them. It's done in a spirit of actual love. So call abortion murder. Just be more educated, more direct and blunt with our speech and talking about this stuff. That's my strong opinion. Obviously, praying what we can, praying on our own personally, aside from the 40 Days for Life movement. If you can, sidewalk counseling, there are some groups that train in sidewalk counseling. Sidewalk Advocates for Life is one. There are some others. There are some places that actually will go, there are other groups like Red Rose Rescue, I think they're called. They'll go into the abortion facility and give roses to the women who are waiting there. Many times they will get arrested. At least pray for those people, support them. I mean, there are people who do stuff like that. Different pro-life groups. I would say just look up various pro-life groups, see where one is drawn to. Maybe you have one in your parish, because not everybody's called to do everything, right? There's a lot of different tasks on here. If one has had an abortion, if a mother or a father's listening, first of all, my love goes out to you, my heart goes out to you. If you haven't gone to confession, go to confession, confess that, even if it's been many, many abortions and many, many years, and then get the healing you need with groups like Rachel's Vineyard or Project Rachel or other groups, and then maybe get involved in helping other persons who've had the same experience, so there's just a lot of different ways, and those are some of the ones that come to. Oh, and of course, vote. Vote in such a way that for laws and candidates who will promote, who will protect, who will do better than the other candidates who defend the dignity of that child in the womb. Again, going back to our original theme, right? It's about the dignity of the child in the womb. That is very important, right? That this is the number one issue. I don't see any issue even being of proportionate importance, none are even close, that would say, okay, to vote for, someone who's, whatever, you get the idea, vote for and who's going to defend the child in the womb, because that is clearly the most, by far the most important issue, and for bills, if you have that chance. Because these things will be coming up in states. There are states I know, like my native state, Ohio. They're trying to get the baby death bill, baby murder bill in the Constitution now. So work, try to do what you can if you're in states like that, or even if you're not in a state like that, maybe you can still help out those states. We need to be united across the country, like the pro-deathers are. So get involved politically. So those are some ideas. I don't know if I think I would just leave it at that. Yeah.
And I want to talk about some funds, but I'd be amiss if I don't tell you about one of our sponsors for this video, realestateforlife.org. If you want to buy a home or sell a home and you want to support the pro-life movement through that, realestateforlife.org, they'll take a portion of their commission and give it to a pro-life organization, and it won't cost you anything for it. So I certainly want to mention them, realestateforlife.org. Tell us a little bit about the Mikey and Angie Fund too.
Great. I'll tell. Okay. Just one other idea real quick. Encourage your priests, because I know some priests, if they're in certain environments, they might be reticent to talk about it. I would argue that in such a situation, a priest, I encourage my fellow priests to be, these are children in the womb. We're going to have to answer these children in the womb, the ones who die and are not speaking out in their defense. So it's done out of charity. But the faithful can help encourage such priests by saying, hey, we'll back you. Even though you might have other people in this parish who might not like what you're saying, and this goes for any Christian congregation, if there's non-Catholics here, just encourage your priests, your pastors to speak out on it. Who are pro-life, but might not be so bold because they're afraid of the backlash. Say, hey, we got your back, because that's very important, because when a priest and pastor speak out, they might not convince everybody, but they'll convince a lot of people, right? They'll certainly convince the fence sitters to take this more seriously, right? That's extremely important. Christian pastors, Catholics, and even non-Catholics are united across the country, we could do some damage. So, okay, so the Mikey and Angie Fund. So, well, this statue, I think, I just for those who didn't hear, can you still see the statue?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, this statue called the Mikey and Angie statue. Okay, just a quick background. Mikey and Angie are the names of two little ones whose lives were lost through abortion. And their mother's giving me permission to talk about this. I worked closely with her in her healing and in her reparation, repentance, and she's really come to reclaim them in her heart, repented deeply from taking their lives through abortion. It was through the death pill, the pill that's going out now, right? So it's very personal to this current issue of spreading this. Are you this abortion pill, this death pill, is very personal to Mike and Angie's mom, to me, and to so many others affected. So she repented, and we created one of the acts of honor that we did was we created an honor stone for Mike and Angie, and we dedicated that honor stone. We had a mass in honor of these children. Some of the friends whom she told about knew about this. We even got her some gifts. And one of the gifts was a replica of this statue. Mm. And I had no idea where that replica was from. I had no idea I would be working here one day. And then five years later, I'm like, hey, that's the Mikey and Angie statue.
Yeah.
That's Providence. I had no idea where it was from. And here I am. It's at Cardinal Burke's Shrine here at Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I think Mikey and Angie, I piously believe they might be, behind the scenes here, at least their angels are. But that honor stone that we created for them in their honor was done to honor them first and foremost, just in principle. They needed to be honored like any other children would. And then it also gave the mother a locus, a place where she could exercise her motherhood and make reparation and in the process be healed. As I tell women and men who've had abortions, the first goal is to honor your child, vindicate your child, because this sin of abortion greatly dishonors the child beyond description. And that's why mothers and fathers feel that shame. So if you want to respond to that shame, vindicate the child. So the thing was the stone vindicated the child. We created it for her. It was great for her healing. She visits that headstone often. And then we had the idea, why this opportunity should be available to so many other, there's so many other men and women wounded and other people wounded. So we said, let's start a fund in Mikey and Angie's honor called the Mikey and Angie Fund. whereby we will raise money to try to start an effort whose ultimate goal is to build memorial walls, kind of like war memorial walls, but the ones honored on these memorial walls will be those killed in the war against the children in the womb, like war against the unborn. So I'm working with Pro-Life Wisconsin. It's a Pro-Life Wisconsin. I pitched the idea to them. It's their thing. I pitched the idea and they took it. So it's on their website, Pro-Life Wisconsin. And again, so they're raising funds right now with the goal of raising enough money that they'll go out to various cemeteries across at least Wisconsin and maybe beyond Wisconsin, hopefully at some point, to say, hey, we have funds that will are for this specific purpose, to build this wall to honor these children. Will you be up for it? So if a cemetery builds such a wall, then a mother, a father, anybody wounded by abortion, could be a sidewalk counselor who tried to save a baby and failed, could then say, I want to honor this child who I know was murdered in the womb by abortion. And a cemetery will that will be ready. It won't be such a strange thing, you know. It'll be ready to go. Does that make sense?
It does very much so. Wow. So you pitched the idea to them and they took it and ran with it. That's
They
awesome.
loved it. God bless.
Wow.
It was the thank you to much credit to Anna from and Anna and Teresa from Pro-Life Wisconsin. They're doing great work over there, and the whole group, they're great. I can't recommend supporting Pro-Life Wisconsin enough. And so if you want to help that, you can go to their website. Maybe we can put a link on there. and and
Yeah,
I
it is it prolifewi.org, I believe.
think that's why,
Uh-huh.
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to add that. And of course, the Mikey and Angie, I think that's mikeyandangie.org, correct?
Well, the Mike and Angie fund, that's still under construction, so don't do
That's
that just
right.
yet.
That's right. That's
That's
right.
something
That's what you
my
mentioned
brother and I,
that to me.
my brother's working on that. God
That's
bless my
right.
brother.
Oh, that's right.
But they do, Pro-Life Wisconsin already has, you'll have to go to the donate page, and there's a special write-up about Mike and they just, in fact, they just put out a very beautiful letter this Monday to all the their recipients about the Mike and Angie Fund. So, and I will be running a marathon in May.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You've been training for this
I've been
marathon.
training. Yeah, I had a good time. I've been doing some better times. It's been, I'm getting some decent times. My goal is to get a sub-9 for
Okay.
the 26 miles. I mean, for some, I don't know if you might have some marathon runners here that's nothing for somebody who takes it, as a good marathon runner. But for me, I've been running I've been kind of off the sport for a while. But so far, I'm looking okay. Although I had a little sickness this week, but I think I bounced back okay. So yeah, I had a 12 mile run the other day. So I got a couple months to get up to 26. I think I can do it and maintain
Yeah.
that pace. But but it's to raise, I just in honor of Mike and Angie, and I want to raise funds, in their honor, running in their honor. Our team, in fact, we have a team in their honor, the Mike and Angie Mike and team Mike and Angie. So we'll be doing that. The mother Mike and Angie will also be running. Some other friends of ours will be running in their honor. And
Yeah,
so
how do we support you with the marathon? How does that work?
yeah, so I will need to, I'll get you a link for that. I'll
Okay.
get you a link for that so we can get we're
Okay.
working on that right now. And
Okay.
so
Cool.
But people can start thinking about that. I'm not quite sure how that's, this is my first marathon I'm running. I've run some other
Yeah.
smaller races, but I don't know. It's like maybe if I beat sub 8, somebody will give, a gazillion dollars.
That's
If I
yeah,
beat sub
that's
8, man, something happened. So I, just some divine intervention, but I'll be
yeah.
happy with sub 9.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, we'll work something. Yeah, what's
Yeah,
that?
you have to get that information to us.
All
I
right.
certainly want to support that, and I'm
All
sure many others here do as well. And so, yeah.
right.
So, any concluding thoughts that you wanted to throw in there, and any pitches for anything else that we need to be made aware of?
Well, I would say this, tomorrow's the Feast of the Incarnation. Try to get to Mass, to honor the children and to realize, just if nothing else, reflect in your heart deeply on the mystery of the Incarnation and how it gives that great dignity to the children in the womb. And then, how we need to fight abortion, that it really is murder. We just got to get the word out. We have to stop dancing around the issue so much. We should stop dancing around it at all. Just, it's murder. I understand we need to be respectful of how being delicate with people's feelings, but had abortions or might, but in the public sphere,
you just got to get it out. And I think women who've had abortions would be the first ones to agree with me. That's been my experience. And so let's go all out and for the likes of Mike and Angie and others who've been lost through abortion and their wounded mothers, although healing, and to prevent it from Francis, mm-hmm. precious Francis, mm-hmm. and to prevent that from happening to others. I keep in my prayers quite often, Michael.
Thank you. So, I appreciate that.
And the mother, yeah. So there we go. I'll end on this maybe, you know.
Sure.
Because it's Lent, so time to think about the last four things, you know. Mm-hmm. And Henry Hyde has that great, great quote, Senator Henry Hyde. He says, you know, on the judgment day when we stand before the Lord, a terror will rip through us like we've never felt. He's quoting Bishop Sheen at this point. But he said, goes on to say, you know, but those of us who have worked in the pro-life movement will hear a chorus of voices that were never heard in this world, but will be heard beautifully in the next. And they will say to the Lord, spare him, O Lord, for he loved us. And then the Lord will look at you and say, not did you succeed, but did you try? And then I personally would add, and when you tried and didn't succeed, did you still honor them in death? That's where the Mike and Angie Fund comes from. So these are human beings. This isn't a mere political or moralish. It's not an abstract thing. It's personal. That's one thing, getting to know Mike and Angie and other mothers, and working with Rachel's Vineyard, getting to know other mothers who've had abortions, and fathers like yourself, Francis. Mm. Francis is not an abstract moral issue. He's a human being. He's your son or daughter, right? Mm-hmm. These are real persons whose lives are taken or murdered. We got to think this is a human rights issue. It's a person issue. I got to do this out of love for them and all the others affected by it. So get beyond the political stuff, you know. But to use politics to get at it. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Thank you so much, Father, for coming on and doing this. Very, very helpful. Can we get your blessing, by the way, before you go?
Sure. And it's a scorching 50 degrees out here in Wisconsin, so I don't even have my jacket on. So
it's just, that would be freezing for us here in Louisiana. That would just be wow.
Perdent Cessum Beate Maria Vicens, Santios Feus Sponsi, et Sancti Gabrieli Arcangeli, et Sancti Roberto Augustin Michael, Omnium Sanctorum, Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis Pacis, Filii Spiritus Sancti, Christianus Bavos, Emanet Semper. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto precious Francis, as well as Mikey and Angie, Liam, Mike, and all the other precious little ones, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And now, for me, it's actually time to go off and actually pray at Planned Parenthood. They don't kill babies, but we do still, you know, try to prevent people from even going to that place of evil. So,
yeah. Great. Okay.
Yeah. It's been a great show, Michael.
Thank you so much for coming on. Always an honor to have you. You're welcome on anytime, by the way.
Thanks, Michael. God bless you. You're doing great work. God bless you. Okay.
Everybody share this on your social media. We'll see you later. God bless.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.